WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Tang from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Battle Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now...
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
So, you think you're untouchable?
Word life. This is basic thugonomics. This is basic thugonomics. Word life. I'm untouchable, but I'm forcing you to feel me. Word life. This is basic thugonomics. Word life.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RockRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. Do you know you get a free sub through Twitch? You just click the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. It is a Thursday night. I think I fixed the button I tried to fix earlier.
Lizard.
Test it,
Lizard. Lizard.
Yes, it worked. There's new channel point redeems. There's new emotes. All the things. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward, at WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or Twitch.tv/WTLive to interact with us live here tonight on the show. Someone found the button too, so that's good. It works. Also, thanks to Matt, scrolling up, 75 months, the diamond anniversary. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
Appreciate it.
But we're not alone, Rock.
We are not.
We have a third. Joining us from Sunday nights and Saturday nights and from the archives, we drug him up from the basement. The intern, Kane Kittens, is here.
Lizard.
How do I mute it?
That's
you don't understand. That's one of my favorite memes. So I've got points to use.
So I should. What you're saying is, I should raise it up a little bit.
I think.
I mean,
so,
you
yeah.
can, and I just won't join chat anymore. It's fine.
Maybe we'll raise it up. a little bit. But yeah, we're here. We're live. We have an ad to talk about, but we'll get into that here in a second. But is it, we have a PLE to talk about.
We do. We do. Crown Jewel live from Perth was this past Saturday morning. By the way, I like how both of you were like, we're not going to watch it, and then you both watched it.
Yep.
No.
That's exactly what happened.
I said I was going to watch the show. I said I wasn't going to watch the pre-show.
Yeah, and then
it was like... And speaking of the pre-show, fucking called it.
Yeah, it started at like 6 a.m. I woke up at 7:30 and went, I don't know, like, I guess I should just wake up and watch it. I'm already awake.
I set my alarm for 5 Pacific because I was like, all right, I'll catch the start of the show and I'll watch through because as soon as it's done, I can go back to bed because it's a Saturday. It's great. And the night before, I looked up because I was like, I wonder if they announced when the pre-show, and I looked and because Rock was like, they're not going to do 2 hours. They won't. It's Australia. They're not going to do 2 hours. And I saw it was a 2-hour pre-show and I was just like, fucking called it.
They did. They did the thing.
I need you guys to understand. I got up. I drove my parents to the airport. Came home. Got home at like 6 in the morning. So right when the pre-show was starting, I was like, I can't do it. And I passed out and I went to sleep. And when I woke back up, you guys were like talking about the show. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, we had a good time talking about the show, and we'll get into it. We had ourselves a time. But before we get into anything and all the news presented by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211, which we'll get to in a second. Today's stream is presented by Puzzles and Chaos, a mobile game that you can download on your Android device or your Apple device, whichever you prefer. Puzzles and Chaos is a match 3 fantasy strategy game that tells an ancient legend of a frozen land. A once prosperous continent now lies frozen due to bizarre magic of the undead. So you play the match three game where you connect the gems together to make they have different elements, and you'll see that gameplay in the thing here in a moment. But there's the match three battles. You build up your troops. You go to war. All the things. It's a fun time you can have. It's addicting. It has microtransactions. So if you had like microtransactions, this is the game for you. So we're gonna get into the gameplay now as we talk about the news from this past week in professional wrestling.
And best of all, guys, it's not gotcha. Look, it has dragons.
It is a little gotcha.
And wizards and shit.
There are 5-star characters you can roll for. There is a little gotcha in there.
Oh, so it does have gotcha.
It has a little gotcha in there, yeah. So,
yeah.
We'll play through the game the first for an hour, and then as we talk about wrestling. So what's in the news?
Well, it is a very light week in the news cycle. In fact, we only have one story. Or actually, technically, we have more. But it's a very, very light week in the terms of news. So starting off with WWE, because that's really all we have. There were regrettably some releases that happened. Most of them were out of NXT, which is not terribly surprising. But there are some names on there you wouldn't expect. I'm going to do the first one last, just because I do want to talk about that one a little bit. So Wes Lee, Stevie Turner, Lance Anoa'i, Jin Tala, Draco Knox, Hayes Jamerson, Summer Sorrell, Brayden BJ Ray, and Jamar Hampton were all released. And joining them is Ridge Holland. And the reason why I want to talk about Ridge Holland is because he is actually injured right now. He was injured on the job and he's not yet cleared for wrestling. I believe he's actually in the process of going through physical therapy.
Yeah, he got injured at working a TNA show.
And they let him go. Now, they said they were not renewing his contract. So his contract is going to be coming up, I think, at the end of the year.
Yeah, and it's the end of next month, his contract was expiring.
But still, and I understand, like, I get that, why they did it. Like, but I think it's a little shitty that he was injured on the job. He was injured working for them. And they let him go while he's in recovery. Like, I would at least hope that part of the deal is they're going to cover his medical bills.
They are. They are covering recovers. They are paying for his rehab.
As they should.
It's weird. Was the decision made before he got hurt? Has to be the question. My gut says yes. because they were going through negotiations to whether to renew it or not. So if they had already planned the release but hadn't announced them, it's tricky. Like,
yeah.
Could they have changed their mind and re-signed him for... Okay, so if you're getting rid of the guy, and that's what they ended up doing, do you have to reevaluate it because he got injured? So you sign him for another year, you pay him his base salary for a year, which they can definitely afford. But
Worth it to avoid the bad PR?
Right. Is the $100,000? Is it worth the $100,000 you would have given him worth the bad PR? It's because now you feel obligated. So say he goes through all this rehab and then he's healthy, but you don't want to use him. So you're just it's weird. It's tricky. Like, it's not a great spot. It's not a great spot for them or him.
No, it's not. And I think. Because he's been injured since he's been under this contract. They yes. could have, and I don't know if they already have, that's kind of the big question, if they had already extended him to allow for the time that he was injured before. But if they hadn't, that would have been a way to do it. That it's like, hey, because you were injured before, we're going to tack time onto your contract. But once that's out, we're not going to re-sign you.
And that's also the thing people were wondering about is like, okay, he got injured, so you just freeze the contract, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if the contract's already come, what time are you? That's like, what are you freezing? 20 yeah. days, like, and then it's even worse. Oh, he just fully rehab, and then you cut him. Like, what do you do? You're in a lose-lose situation, no matter what.
I think the way to handle it would have been, and I did not see the full statement, but with it being an issue, I'm guessing it was not addressed. Is that WWE is not going to renew the contract, and I don't even know if they made an official statement or not on him. I think he was the one that actually broke it.
He did.
But the follow-up after he broke it is that, you know, WWE wishes him all the best. We will continue to cover his medical expenses and costs for the duration of his injury until he is medically cleared. And then that's that. Like, that would have been a really kind of, like, elegant way to handle that. Like, I know they don't always make statements to that fact, but just to kind of address that. Because, yeah, it's bad PR. Right? Because it makes you look like an asshole because you cut the dude while he's hurt, he's rehabbing, and his sort of future is left up in the air in terms of who's going to cover those expenses. Because he's in NXT, he's not making wonderful money, he's making decent money, but he's not on the level of some of the other superstars in WWE by a mile.
Well, and here's the thing.
Wrestlers don't have insurance.
Here's the thing.
It depends.
Because he was also up on the main roster at one point.
Yeah.
But didn't he re-sign, like, an NXT contract?
No, I don't.
When he re-signed the last time?
I don't think so.
It depends if the original contract was for NXT and then he got moved up to the main roster. Because there's times that it's like, oh, if you got moved up, you still may be working through the rest of that kind of contract. And then, you know, maybe they moved him back down because it was still an NXT contract, so they could have moved him back and forth if needed.
It's weird.
Yeah, like, it's very weird. And but I mean, even if he was a main roster contract, he was the low end of the barrel, so he wasn't making, he's making decent money. Like, he's probably making six figures,
right? And it's the amount, I don't think matters. It's just, it's being, having your contract come up and getting injured
sucks.
It's a terrible spot to be in.
And I mean, when I'm sure when they were like negotiating with this, because they start, I think, early, like 6 months or a year out when they start talking about it in general, in theory, like, he was fine. He was healthy. And then he gets injured. And now it's all of a sudden like, oh, crap. So I'm sure they probably like maybe were talking to him about it, or maybe they weren't. Like, maybe, as you said, they'd already made up their minds and they were like, we're going to go ahead and cut him, and they hadn't told him yet. And then he got injured, and it's like, well, now we're in a sticky situation. And it's like, do we keep him? Do we not? Do we let him go? You know, like, what's the situation? And I think ultimately they stuck with the plan to a certain degree. Like, it sucks. Like, it's just, there's no other way to describe it. It just sucks. Because it's awkward. And then him breaking the news like that on the internet was like, oh shit. Because it started a firestorm.
It did. And as we're going to get into here in a second, because we have one other thing two other little topics to get into that relate to injury. Thanks, Brent. We'll get to them in a second.
Welcome.
Actually, yeah, let's get to it. I want to do the roundup because it's an interesting thing. So I'm going to hit this button and we'll talk about the first one.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
So they play a game of PR. This is all a PR game. Rich Holland got hurt. We've just been talking about in TNA, and he got released, and WWE has to cover their medical bills. Lindsay, list off the first person on the list.
This is a nasty one. I feel so bad for him. Kota Ibushi is out with a fractured femur.
# blame Brent.
So this is where you play
that
your
PR. That is a nasty break.
It is a nasty break. He's out up to 2 years. 1 year for recovery and then another year to get back in the ring. So this is a game of PR. So when WWE is getting their bad press over the Ridge Holland thing, who went out to make sure there was good injury press?
Tony Khan.
He wrote him a note. He went to the hospital. He brought him this and that.
He sent flowers.
He did the whole shebang to give you the PR. Hey, look, we're taking care of our guy who's been out injured for a majority of the time we've had him under contract, but we're taking care of our guy. That was such a PR stunt. I know Tony cares. But it was a PR
Tony cares,
move.
Tony may have also shot himself in the foot on something else. We don't know yet. We're still waiting to see how that fallout happens.
Now, if he shoots himself in the foot, does that technically make it a blame me as well?
Yes.
No, I don't think you get blamed for this one.
No, if he literally shot himself in the foot. An actual gunshot. Yes, we would blame you. Not what's happening here. For those wondering, there's an Andrade situation that's going on where he may have worked with AEW a little too soon. Because there's a
tampering.
because he has a non-compete that... Because he was fired, which the wording of the contract is a year, because he was fired for not a Ridge Holland or any of the names we just mentioned. They're not a 1 year, which all the websites are spinning. Oh, did you see the new clause in the contract? And if you just get released, you're free. No, it with just cause, that's when you get the year. That's how it's written.
That's called read your fucking contract before you sign it.
And then you can't be mad if you sign the contract. If you give it to your lawyer and he reads it over and you miss this clause,
you got a bad lawyer.
You got a bad lawyer because you should have known. Everyone should have known this was in the contract. And because it's everyone's wondering, it's TKO now. It's TKO.
Yeah, it's a contracts. TKO contract.
Yeah. So there's going to be a lot of non-competing if you get fired for cause, not released for budgetary reasons. You're free and clear. This is a lot different.
Is it wrong of me to want to know what he did to get fired with cause?
Oh, I saw.
Tell me after the show, because I didn't see it. Or put it in the chat.
He performed and got very enhanced, brother.
Got it.
He did really well.
He did really well. Yeah, he enhanced himself very well in the process.
That'll do her.
That would do it. That does it. That kind of does the thing.
Yeah, that you're not supposed to do that. But going back to Ibushi, I hope he recovers. Like, all jokes, all everything aside, it's a nasty injury for him. It's got to be a heartbreaking thing for him as well.
He just came
back.
And
I hope he recovers.
Yeah, he just came back from injury and was here for what, like a month?
Yeah.
That sucks.
It does.
Is he going to have to recover here, or is he going to get to go back to Japan? Can he go back to Japan right now?
Can you fly that far with a broken femur?
Not maybe, like right away, but like after
I think at some point he'll go back to Japan. Let's hit the other name because we'll talk a lot about that later, but let's talk about him.
And we take this with a grain of salt because reasons. Seth Rollins injured his arm.
# blame Brent.
Believed to be a shoulder. If you believe him, he was seen in a sling, but he was also seen with a crutch. But
trust issues at this point.
So
the biggest problem with that angle they ran was from now on, any injury is going to be viewed as, now is this real?
Especially with him.
Shame on me.
Yeah.
Fool me twice, shame on me.
But we saw it actually happen. He grabbed his shoulder right away, right when it happened.
No offense to Seth. If it's legit, I hope he recovers. But if it's not, I don't care what he did. Trust issues. Trust issues.
Also, he did it on a very dumb spot.
Oh yeah, don't get me wrong. Looked cool, but there's not really a good way to land that. There's just not a good way of I'm going to perform this move and I'm going to land very safely, especially with the distance in which you have to travel to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, we saw, even in the other version of it, we've seen people get absolutely wrecked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shane McMahon, I'm looking at you, getting a concussion.
But you know, like you do.
We'll get more into him on the other side, because there was a PLE we got to talk about.
That's right. So Coda and Seth, if you're actually injured, Seth, feel better soon. We hope you recover and everything goes smoothly. And with that, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about Crown Jewel, which was live this past Saturday from Perth, Australia. So you're listening to Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we'll be right back. We some southern boys with the promise strength. Ain't nobody man enough to feel the pain. And you could be next, you better give respect. Cause ain't nobody breaking this redneck. No, they don't want none. No, they don't want none.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR Live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw Post Show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Give me a hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin' as they give their opinions on what they liked.
What?
What they didn't like.
What?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw Post Show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
Once Monday Night Raw ends.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line! Go Stone Cold Simpson!
Every Sunday night, the evolution continues with Wrestle Talk Radio, giving you all the latest happenings in sports entertainment. With the intern, the producer, the original Tim Stein, and sometimes, a K-Sheep. It's WTR Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Mountain, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Did you know you can use support a creator code Rock and Sock in the Fortnite item shop? That's R-O-C-K-N-S-O-C-K in the Fortnite item shop. That's a hashtag ad, because we are a hashtag epic partner.
You're listening to 5-time NWA World Heavyweight Champion, the Scrap Daddy himself, Scrap Arnett Pierce, and this is the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Inside Joe.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, because I can autopilot the shit out of this, you can use it here for free. Just hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out in chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And yes, that music means we are back and we are here to talk all about Crown Jewel, which was this past Saturday, bright and early for all of us. If you were on the East Coast, even more on the West Coast, because they were in Australia.
They were in Australia, which is why there was no Raw post show this week, because it was on at 8 a.m.
in Australia.
They were still in Australia. But yeah. The segment is presented by Puzzle and Chaos Awaken the Dragon, the Puzzle and Chaos Match 3 fantasy strategy game, available now for your Android or Apple device. It's Match 3 battles, explore the unknown, make strategy deployments, free construction, customize the layout of your castle as you wish, unite with allies, raise the dragon, and more with Puzzle and Chaos, as you're seeing on the screen right now, playing through the game. Go download it now, click the link in chat or the panel down below. Help support the channel. Hashtag ad.
Ding, ding.
Let's get into the show.
Let's talk about the show, all right? Let's start off with general impressions of this show. What did we think, everybody?
It was a C.
holy shit, the fucking fans.
The minions?
The fans hated this. It was awful. They couldn't stand it. They were so not into it at all. Jesus Christ.
They were so quiet. They weren't chanting, you know, singing. Anyone's a wanker. They weren't, you know, going crazy for Rhea. Although I do have to say, I love the fact that they still booed the shit out of Bronson Reed.
They did.
Like you.
There was so much love for the tribal chief, for the OTC, that when Bronson walked out, they just shat on him. And then when Roman walked out, it was, the chief is here.
I mean, I think they kind of expected that based on the reaction at the kickoff show a couple days prior where he was booed. So, like, they were ready for the boos, and Roman Reigns was over. John Cena.
Like Rock said, we were in Despicable Me territory.
Yeah.
Because if you got a crowd shot, everyone was wearing the John Cena yellow. And I mean, everyone.
They made bank on shirts, because holy crap, did he his shirt sell? And I was like, I was surprised. Like, you don't notice how many shirts he sells normally, because he sells a lot of merch. A lot of them are dark. They're dark blue, they're black, whatever. But when they're bright yellow, you could see them
all. It's also the fact that, one, it is an international crowd, so you don't get as much of John Cena in Australia. Two, everything has been billed about the John Cena farewell tour, so of course you're going to be like, well, this is going to be our last real chance to break it out, so let's go!
Let's go buy it. It's brand new. It's on the merch stand. Go get it.
But the best part about it was
location. It's location specific. It was made specifically for Perth. Like it had the branding on it for Perth, which is even more special.
Which they've all had. Every stop has had its
specific Brussels one. Last. You know, the last time is now.
It doesn't matter. Brussels here. Every city in the States has had its own specific last time.
It's like when they did the Brock Lesnar like Suplex City, and they made it individual shirts. You want to get the one for the location you're at. But the biggest thing also to note is John Cena merch has always been for a certain demographic.
It has.
We all know that. But this crowd, it was everybody. It was kids. It was females. It was male. It was like, you couldn't have more of a spectrum that were all wearing the yellow.
And it was amazing to see.
Oh, it was fantastic.
It was... Part of me for a second was kind of wondering if like it would they had actually all bought the shirts, or if like WWE had kind of passed them out for the shot. But no. Either way, it doesn't matter, because they got the shot. Like, it was just absolutely spectacular, because it's like 30,000-40,000 people.
And it was no, it was 12,000 people in the building.
Okay, fine. 12,000. I don't know how big the building is.
Yeah, it was the 13,000 and change that were in the building. And I would say 10,000 had the shirt, it seemed like.
Yeah. It's still spectacular because you have like 10,000 people wearing Cena's shirt and it's just a sea of like yellow shirts.
Indeed.
So, like, that was just like absolutely amazing. Do we just want to go ahead and talk about Cena's match? Do we just want to start there or do we have general impressions?
Before we talk about the Cena match, I'm going to hit a button and then we can further talk about what happened. I'm going to hit this first as it spins and spins, spins. There was a lot to that. Lots of thank you, Cena's. And then he did something special.
Ladies and gentlemen, the definition of total non-stop action, the ace and undisputed boss of the Bullet Club, it is our honor as fans and my honor as an opponent to see if he can beat up John Cena one final time. He is the face that runs the place. The phenomenal AJ Styles.
That was tremendous.
Yeah.
That was a great intro.
The funny thing is, Rock and I were sitting here going back and forth during the show as comments, and they had the Cena thing, and then Cena hands her a sheet of paper, and we both kind of went, okay. And they did the introduction, and my first thought was, this is why AJ is the opponent. You're getting the dual farewells here.
Yeah. AJ Styles, for the first time, I think, in 15 years, if not longer, wore shorts.
Yeah.
He was rocking those shorts, man. He looked good. He made sure he looked good in those shorts. He's like, okay, AJ, I see you.
And we heard on the kickoff show, or not the pre-show, but like the actual kickoff the day before, he confirmed this is his last year. He is on the way out.
Well, next year, his last year, next year.
Well, yeah, 2026 is he's done.
Which with he's wrestling. Always, I think he's staying around as a producer.
Which yeah, he's always said he wants to have a coach. Yeah.
And, you know, he can earn that good money and just, you know, book matches and work with Chris and all the stuff that he wants to do. That's fantastic. He knows he doesn't want to be Ric Flair, Terry Funk, trying to wrestle far past when his body will allow.
He has the same mentality as John Cena. He wants to be remembered as AJ Styles, like John Cena wants to be remembered as John Cena. He doesn't. Once you hit that physical wall, like, you don't want to be the guy just living off the reputation of your name. You still want to be able to go. And once you, and he doesn't want to embarrass himself. So, smart move.
Yeah, and I do have to say, like, the intro really kind of made it. And I like that AJ, at first, even had the look like, where the hell is this going? And then he starts to hear it, and I like that he's kind of buying in. He's like, all right, okay.
When he said Bullet Club, he went, oh, shit.
Yeah, when he's like the ace of the Bullet Club, AJ's like, oh, you went there. Okay, let's go.
Well, I mean, it's WWE, right? Like, how often do they actually acknowledge that kind of stuff? Like, offhandedly, but like this for the introduction for a Cena match, it's like, oh, we're going to talk about, because it's like TNA's expected, right? But the Bullet Club, we're going to talk about the Bullet Club? Okay, all right, let's talk about the Bullet Club.
Think about this. A year ago, you would expect the Bullet Club over than the TNA reference.
I was going to say, like, if you had said two years ago, 1 year ago, that we're going to give an introduction to AJ Styles and we're going to mention not only TNA, we're going to reference New Japan and him as the Bullet, you know, the leader of the Bullet Club, you'd be like, nah. Who took over creative? Who took over the production truck? Who tied up people in the back?
I mean, okay, let's think about it. If you think about the people in the back right now, name some of them. It's Joseph Park, a.k.a. Chris Park, a.k.a. Abyss. It is the glorious Bobby Roode. It is Petey Williams. That's yeah. TNA. It's TNA.
Jeremy Borash is somewhere in the back.
Jeremy Borash.
Yeah, Borash is runner too.
TNA is running WWE, whether they like it or not. They actually are.
This is in charge of fucking SmackDown.
Yeah, like here we are.
But man. Yeah, the intro was great, and then holy shit, the match that we got out of these two.
So last week on this very program right here, about 8 days ago, I said these two men would go out and steal the show. It was a pride thing. And someone over here on this panel was like, hey, okay about pride, they won't have the best match of the night.
I don't know if it was still the best match of the night.
It was
a nostalgia fest.
It was the best thing on this show. It was
from
the best.
From a nostalgia and a fun standpoint, yes, I will give you that.
It was the best thing they did.
They hit all the finishers in this match. Every single one that wasn't theirs and theirs, they hit.
Like, it was a tribute.
The moment was nice.
It was a tribute to professional wrestling. I have the list.
Like,
we had Samoa Joe and the Kikita Clutch. We had the Rusev accolade. We had the Angel's Wings of Christopher Daniels. It started with the skull crushing finale, and then there was Bryce.
And they did a moment for the Fireflies, which was nice.
And they also broke out Frankie Kazarian too, didn't they? Because
mm-hmm.
it was
AJ,
one of those
AJ did Frankie's.
Because it was one of those things. Like when they first did it, I messaged Drago. I was like, did they just pull out the Deadeye or Beach Break? And he's like, oh no, that was Frankie's. Like back when he, you know, back early. And I went, oh okay. Well, shit!
The one thing I'm disappointed on is when Cena did Randy and he went for the RKO, there was no live shot of Randy Orton sitting somewhere at home watching and his reaction.
Randy would fucking pop because it's John. He would have jumped out of his damn chair like he'd celebrated that one RKO. And then,
he's like, that's my boy!
And then also, they broke out. You could call it... I think AJ threw it, if I remember correctly. It could have been called The Last Call, but it had more of the warm-up of a Sweet Chin Music as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. They even called it a Sweet Chin Music. But poor AJ, despite hitting the Sweet Chin Music, he can't escape that dead man, can he? He can't do it. I love that the finish of this match was John hitting the Tombstone Piledriver and then the AA to close it out. Like, that was nice. That was a great finish to this match.
And I told Rock, because I kept an eye out for it, because I remember the very first, like, one of the first matches that they did, they made such a big deal of the fact of they never left the ring. And the same thing happened in this match. There was only two or three times they went between the ropes. They never touched the floor, but they went outside of the ropes, and that was John hitting the hanging DDT, AJ hitting the 450, and then hitting the phenomenal forearm. But everything else happened in between the ropes for the length of time they had that match, which is remarkable in today's world.
They kept it in the ring. They wanted to settle it in the ring, and they kept it in the ring. Like, I can't complain about that, like, at all.
And that was 27 minutes of a match.
They went a lot longer than I thought they would, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I expected this to be, I think, a little bit shorter. But I will give them credit where credit is due. AJ wore his working shorts, and so did John. And they went out there, and they worked their ass off. And they put on a show.
They worked
like,
their ass off.
I cannot complain about what they gave us at all.
Do we mention...
Because...
Go ahead.
Because it was a great match.
Do we mention the walls of Cena?
I forgot they broke out Jericho. And they made very specific specific point of, this isn't a Boston Crab.
It's the walls of Jericho. It's, and it was tweeted even out by SportsCenter that it was the walls of Jericho. You know.
Oh, getting fuck that, he's coming back. God damn it.
I mean, if anything was a telltale sign, It's the ESPN. No. But again, it's ESPN. They don't know any different. It's Jericho. He's a famous name. Do we also need to mention? Yes, they did the Sweet Styles music.
I still think it should have been the last call. Bring in James.
You had the Scorpion death drop for Sting. This is where they improvised during the match. The fans start chanting for the 619.
Oh yeah. And I just remember, I love the announcer where they're like, I don't know if he can do this.
And he did. Or attempted to do it. They teased the 619.
He went for it and then it got broken up right before.
They also teased the pedigree.
They went for the white boy version.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, teased the pedigree.
But yeah, this whole thing was a tribute to wrestling. It was everything it needed to be. The crowd was into this entire match, which, as Brent said, 27 minutes from top to bottom. They tore the house down. It was match of the night because I think everything else was just there in comparison. Like, everything else was good.
It was the most fun match.
And for wrestling, that's kind of what you want. And after the thing with Brock, this is what it needed to be. Twitter was all like, why didn't they give this to us the entire time? Well, we gave you this the entire time. If, like, all the tribute to wrestling the entire time, it would, by October, you would have been tired of it. But right now, it's really good. It's fun. It's going to be hard to top from here for him. It's like you've had a really good match with Cody and this really good match with AJ. Everything else now has to kind of find its place.
We talked about this last week. You did the wrap-up, right? The passing of the proverbial torch at SummerSlam. And now it's just matches. And at this stage, John is just coasting to the end. And I don't mean that in the fact that he's being lazy. I mean, they're just, in terms of story-wise, they're literally just coasting. And it's, who do we want to see John Cena wrestle? Let's do it. Like, and so it's, we're going to have him wrestle AJ. Dom is in the mix, which I am so pissed. They're doing Dom, and only for the reason that it's going to be a match and not a goddamn storyline, because can you just imagine the promos? Can you imagine the promos?
They
y'all?
Got time. He's going to be on Raw. There is time to do a promo. He's Raw for 2 weeks. There's 2 weeks of Raw. He's going to be there. You can have an interaction with Dom and Cena.
Wait, but how is he going to be there?
'Cause 5 dates.
Four.
Is it five or four?
It's 4 dates left. It's Madison Square Garden in November. Or November, what, 10th or 8th, 9th?
San Diego.
And then he's in San Diego for Survivor Series. He's in Boston the week after Madison Square Garden. So it's like back-to-back Mondays he's there. He's there for Survivor Series. And then Saturday Night's Main Event. Because Dom, if he's working Dom... Supposedly, it's Survivor Series, not for the final.
It's acceptable, but I wish it was a full feud. I wish it was a full feud, because just the promo work alone would make it so worth it, because it would be fucking hilarious.
You get one promo for
especially
20 minutes.
This version.
It'll be good.
So the big question remains, though, if Dom is Survivor Series, who is the end?
Well, it's supposedly Gunther.
But as we've learned, plans can change.
Plans can change.
Oh. I mean, they threw Styles out there. So.
They did. Who knows? Who knows? All right. So, yeah. Cena beat AJ, just so people are aware.
Yeah, Cena won. LOL, Cena wins. One thing I forgot to mention is my one, like, issue with this show was kind of the sound balancing at the entrances. And I don't know if it was because I watched it on the replay and not the live, but like you would get the initial crowd pop and then I think they would lower the crowd mics so you could only hear the music, and it was a little hard to gauge at times like the crowd reaction to certain people, because obviously they were louder for certain people than they were others. But everybody still got a very good reaction. Like they didn't sit on their hands for anybody, which was nice.
I didn't notice that, but I'll take your word for it.
And like I said, I don't know if it was a replay thing or like what it, or if it was a live thing, because I was not conscious when it was live. So I don't know. So yeah, let's wind up to the top of the show, because we opened with Bronson Reed with the Oracle Paul Heyman taking on Roman Reigns in an Australian street fight. And I don't know about y'all, but the highlight kind of for me was Roman throwing the soccer ball at Heyman.
The rugby ball.
Rugby, yeah. I get this a couple times. He threw it
I thought there was a soccer ball and a rugby ball.
No,
he threw the rugby ball at Bronson.
He had a rugby ball, and then he had a footy ball, which is Australian rules football. It is a smaller version of like a rugby ball, and that's what I think he may have kicked or thrown secondly. The first one was an actual rugby ball. Yeah, the yellow.
That was the
yellow
green.
Ones.
Yeah.
Or yellow, bright green. That was the smaller one. That's the one that was, I believe, the footy ball.
So what I learned from this match, Roman doesn't want people over for Thanksgiving. That's what I learned. That was the big takeaway. Roman doesn't want Thanksgiving with his family. That's
they want to stay home this year. I mean, I respect that, and they don't want anybody at the house. I mean,
Roman doesn't want them there. He doesn't want his family there. He doesn't want to see them till Christmas.
No. He doesn't want his cousins there. That's not his family. The man has a house full of people.
Well, that's who I mean.
He has offspring to spare.
But he doesn't want his cousins there. But he don't want to see them till Christmas.
I mean, I respect that. That's fair. They've been all up in his business lately.
Look,
like
for about 9 minutes of that interaction, things were working great. Roman was overmatched by the fact of Braun Breaker showing up and deciding to screw his day. It's just Jay got a little excited, overzealous, and kind of ran through his cousin.
A little bit.
Through a table.
You know, like you do. It's fine. We've all done it, right? We've all put our cousin through a table.
Yeah. That's what you do with family gatherings for Thanksgiving and Christmas and 4th of July and whatever else. Especially in Buffalo. It's tradition. Especially at sporting events. The match itself was good. Roman came to work. Bronson looked strong. They did enough bells and whistles to keep the fans interested. And Braun Breaker interfering helped. Usos getting involved helped. Because it made the match feel a little bit different than, what was it, SummerSlam?
SummerSlam was the tag
match.
No,
it was Paris. Clash in Paris, that's what it was.
Yeah, Clash in Paris was the one where Roman got the win and then got beat the fuck down.
And this time he just told his cousins to screw off till Christmas. Yeah, it was a good match. It was enjoyable. Bronson got the win, which was what was needed.
It was one of those things of going into this match, I would say Bronson needed it. He, especially in this faction, like Bronson is the guy that could eat falls. Because usually in the faction, it's like, if you need someone to take a loss, there's usually one person to do it. And in this case, it was, it was typically Bronson. Braun, you still want to look pretty strong, but Bronson could be a sacrificial lamb.
He could be.
And I get the fact of he still is a monster because just because of his size.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can have him do two or three tsunamis on someone, take them out, and you're like, yep, he's still a badass. But for the sake of the vision, it's that kind of thing, like, you still need him to pick up wins. And I think in this case, especially because, like, sure, Jay put Roman through the table accidentally, and that's what helped get Bronson the win overall. Roman still can look strong through this, but Bronson can pick up the win and everyone comes out, you know, looking a bit like roses. And now you have that bit of Paul Heyman can look at Bronson and be like, you are the tribal chief because he's beaten him. He's got, and they hyped it up on the show with Bronson picking up the pinfall. That's only the second singles like pinfall of Roman Reigns in like 4 years.
Cody's the
That's a pretty big accomplishment, and it shows like, yeah, we want to make Bronson Reed something.
And especially with what happened later in the show and what we've learned with Rollins, him coming out looking strong, it was needed a lot more than they realized going into the match.
Without a doubt, without a question.
Bam, Roman Reigns got the, Bronson Reed got the win over Roman. Good match. Good way to start the show. Fans were hyped for Roman. Then Roman told his cousins to see you later. We saw the ramifications on Rob from that.
And we can start to see that there's even a splintering with the Usos a bit too.
Which is
Going
to be interesting to see. Now they're no, Jimmy wanted to be back on the same page with Jay. They kind of were, and then now Roman's influence has put the wedge between the two. So,
God damn it, Roman.
We'll see where things end up going from there.
Honestly, I like that, though. Like, for me personally, I talk about this a lot, but it's a continuity thing where, with all the issues that they've had with each other, everything that's happened, they shouldn't just go back to being hunky-dory happy. Right? Like, you can have moments of that, and you should, but ultimately, it's like, you shouldn't have full trust between the three, just based on everything that's happened, especially between, like, Roman and Jay, and that whole relationship, right? And especially with the way that they've kind of told the story with Jay, where he's kind of sorting, becoming a Roman 2.0 a little bit. He got a taste of it.
That's one of the things I really like about Jimmy's role now. That, like, even in the first Bloodline, Jimmy initially was the one that was trying to be the voice of reason, and Jay was kind of in the Stockholm Syndrome role, until Jimmy bought in and was like, well, we're getting championships, so it's
we're
good.
We're getting paid. Right. We're fine.
We're getting the money, so that's the important thing. What I like now, though, is that Jimmy is kind of, as I said, the voice of reason, where he's looking at Jay and going, you're acting an awful lot like someone that we all determined is a jackass, right? You're starting to embody a lot of that, and bro, you need to wise up.
And Jimmy don't want to hear it.
Jay's getting that kind of frustration of, like, he was at the top of the mountain and he slid back a bit. And I think that's a legitimate kind of, like, you could look at that and go, yeah, you would be frustrated at it. But at the same time, but you also have to realize what he's saying is true. And it's a very slippery slope of you will become the thing you hate the most.
Mm-hmm. So it's, they can continue that on without Roman in the picture between the two.
Yeah. It's not a WrestleMania match.
No, it will not be a WrestleMania match, but that's fine. Not everything has to be a WrestleMania match. I'm just saying, it doesn't have to be. Up next, we have Stephanie Vaquer, who is your reigning and defending Raw Women's World Champion, taking on Tiffany Stratton, the SmackDown's WWE Women's Champion, for the Crown Jewel Championship. The one thing that it actually confused me when I first turned it on was the way they hyped up the title for the men and the women and the whole promo packages that they did for both titles, for both matches, and how they built this up to be really big and really important, and how they tried, especially with, like, the announcing and stuff, to make it seem like it means something, right? Because it's just a, hey, way to go award, where you win it and then you don't do sweet fuck all with it for the rest of the year. You maybe get to walk around with the ring and a fake title for, like, a month, and that's it.
Well, no, but the title goes directly back to Saudi.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was there till Monday, and then when they were leaving Australia, it was going to be, well, the titles are going back now.
Well, that's why I say a fake title, because, yeah, they don't get to keep the real one. The real one goes back to Saudi, but they could have, like, a stage one if they want. But I think they get to keep the rings.
You keep the ring, and the title is to be seen at the WWE Experience in Saudi. So you can always see the belts. You can always see the belts.
You have to go to Riyadh, though, to see them.
Well, yeah, that's part of the reason why. So you'll go travel to Riyadh and then see them.
That's a long flight, dude.
I mean, they want you to go for WrestleMania anyway.
Yeah, because I can afford
one of the WrestleManias.
I'd have to sell my house to go. Anyway,
The Saudi prince will buy it.
Probably not. It's not his style. Anyway, I did like how they hyped it up and they made it feel important. And they have the whole time, like, the whole build. But this was really, like, this is the central focus of this event. This is what it's all about. This is why we're doing it. This is how we started it. And that's why it confused me at first, because they were talking about Riyadh. And I was like, wait, shit, did I click on the wrong pay-per-view? And then, like, I kind of scrolled through. And I was like, oh, wait, no, it's right. It's okay. It's fine. It's just the promo package. Because it's like, they start literally with the word or the city name Riyadh. And I was just like, huh? What? Well,
one of the other things I like about this is we've seen champion versus champion before.
Mm-hmm.
But this is built up as, like, who is the premier champion for the year? And last year we had that kind of Cody versus Gunther, and it really felt big because it's like, yep, Gunther hadn't, you know, he was through hit, or he was in, you know, the midst of his dominant reign. Cody had gotten the belt at Mania, but it really felt like whoever wins this, this is a real statement, because mm-hmm. if Cody beats Gunther, that's a big feather in his cap. If Gunther beat Cody, that's a big feather in the cap. And as you talked about the hype package building up both of these matches, but it's also kind of, it was important, as you all talked about last week in the hyping of the show, and like we talked about on the Sunday show, you have two women who are, I mean, they're part of the new class, but like Tiffany has pretty much cemented herself in the main event picture, being the champion for as long as she was, and or as well technically is, she hasn't lost it, but she had a, you know, the winning streak going into this. Stephanie has had a year between NXT and this, and it really felt like, you know, yeah, who's going to come out of this being the woman right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you needed to have that because this was essentially a friendly contest, right? Like, they weren't at odds with each other. It was just, we have to fight each other. There's no real build beyond that. We're both cool with each other. So we're just going to have a match for this title, and we're going to fight, and we're going to see who wins. So the fact that you added that to it helped it a lot. Because I think if you didn't have that walking in, it still would have been good, but it wouldn't have had that oomph to it that it kind of needed. And I think the one drawback on this match is I wish they would have done more, right? I wish they would have pushed more. And I understand because of timing and everything else, they can't, right? Because Stephanie just won the title not that long ago. So there's only so much you can do. But I do appreciate the effort that they tried to put a little something-something on this match.
Yeah, they did try. And it was, for the time they were given, it was a solid match. I thought both women looked good in the match. They did mention, as we talked about, the undefeated streak, which it came to an end. A little surprising, mm-hmm. but here we are.
I think the fact it was Stephanie made it not yeah. as surprising. I think they really want to put the rocket on her, not just because she's newer, and because, I mean, she does have a good pedigree behind her with AAA and wanting to, you know, do that. I think some of it is also having her, a Chilean woman, be a kind of focal point on TV. You know, we have a Latin champion, expands the market, and I think they realize that. So that's why there is some stock in Stephanie. And I mean, I hate to say this, I think the fact that she actually can speak pretty good English means that you can put her out there to do a lot of media and get her exposure that sometimes you may not be able to with other individuals.
Well, they've also shown a great capacity for embracing individuals' talents when they get hot, right? Like, kind of one of the marks of Triple H's takeover is that they are more willing to pivot when they see somebody taking off, when they see somebody getting hot. They aren't as inclined to squash that popularity. They embrace it. And they see that with Stephanie. They see the fans cheering for her. They see her getting over. And she is that great international crossover star that they can build, very similar to Rhea, where they can build her into something. And as you mentioned, you know, it's great because she is Chilean, so you have that representation there as well. And she's a women's champion on top of it, which is even better. And yeah. you can put her out there and you can have her out there like representing the brand, and she will do a fantastic job with it, just like Rhea has. And it's just another feather in their proverbial cap for her. And so I think, much in the same way that Tiffany was, but Tiffany is kind of, I feel like, cooled off a little bit, and they're seeing that, and it's like they're still high on Tiffany, they're still willing to keep her champion, but it's kind of Stephanie's time right now, right? Like, she is just, for them, she is becoming a rapid star. Like, she's had a phenomenal year. They were listing off everything she's done since she showed up in WWE, and it's like, damn. So I would say that they've already strapped the rocket to her, and now they're getting ready to light it, kind of thing. I do like in this match how they tease the Devil's Kiss. They made you wait for it just a little bit.
As they should. They know it's the big move the crowd enjoys, so they make you wait for it, which is good storytelling.
It's fantastic storytelling. And, you know, then, of course, her spiral time finisher that she's only doing on PLEs, as LeMans points out.
But it should be it should be a special finish. Like, it helps enhance the event a little more of, like, okay, we're at a PLE, cool. She's going to break out the bigger moves because it's a bigger stage and it may take more to win.
Yeah, stakes are higher, so we've got to pull out all the stops lest we lose, which nobody wants.
Nobody wants that at all.
But here we are. But in the end, Stephanie comes out victorious. She's awarded her belt and her ring. Okay, I just have to say this. Hunter is such a fucking girl dad. He's such a goddamn girl dad. Like, just say what you want about him, but he's such an utter girl dad. It's not funny. Like, him and her in the ring together was so fucking adorable.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I want to say, the nice thing is, like, with Hunter and Sean, because you see this in NXT, and I mean, if you've seen any of the behind the scenes video, like the TikToks that like the girls do with Sean.
Oh my God, they're amazing.
Oh, they're fucking fantastic. But it's like, yeah, it's like uncle slash dad, Sean and Hunter. And they take such an interest in the up and coming group. And for a lot of them, it's like you grew up watching and idolizing Sean and Hunter. So the fact that you get to train under them and the fact that they're willing to take that investment and impart time, knowledge, etc., there is such a relationship there. And I mean, you even see it with, you know, Punk and like the time he puts in with the people from developmental and what they all think of him as well. That, yeah, like when Stephanie has that moment to shine with the belt and Hunter gets to put it on her, it means that much more because it's Hunter putting it on you. It's, you get the point in that photo. And it's like, that's what everyone wants now. That's what you aspire to if you're an up-and-coming person in the company, is I want to earn the point because that means you've made it.
You got the acknowledgement from the people you've looked up to.
Yeah, it would be that same thing of like, if you get the nod from Taker, it's like, oh, you've made it. You're dying happy now.
Taker approves. We're good. I'm good. I don't have to do anything else. Taker approves. But I like that they're building that as a culture within the company, because I think the one thing with WWE that we always hear about, and this is the past, is that there was very much a separation between management, especially the top being Vince, and the talent. Like, only certain people had access to Vince, right? And you had to go through all these different channels to get to him. And I'm not saying it's a lot different in WWE, but there is a point being made in how they're putting this stuff out to show that Sean and Hunter are much more accessible, especially to the talent and to the fans, than really Vince and a lot of the other higher-ups ever were.
And I think that's Sean and Hunter having come up through that system. And don't get me wrong, like, there were times that they were in the machine.
Oh yeah, they were. Yeah, no doubt.
They were, or you could say they were the machine. But I think the fact that they both went through it, and, you know, Sean finding his purpose, the purpose, and I think Hunter kind of realizing that transition from wrestler to front office helped to kind of be like, okay, maybe this isn't the way it should be. Maybe, like, we came up through here, but is that the real way? And now they're setting the tone of, like, we want to change change the culture. We want to set a new tone where we don't want to be that removed. We don't want to have that separation. We want the people to be able to come up to us and still be able to impart that knowledge, still be able to relate to them because they know we've been there. And also, we don't want to have to go through, we don't want them to have to go through maybe what we had to.
Yeah. And I like that about the company. I like that they are making it a point to show that cultural shift. It's not perfect, and they're not perfect people by any stretch of the imagination, but it's a good look for a company that in the past, approachability was a problem. And it's a very public issue that approachability, especially in management, was a problem. Because we hear the horror stories, right? We've heard everything. We've watched the documentaries. So we know So the fact that WWE is making a very, very, very strong effort to show, hey, look, it's not Vince's company anymore. And that's really the point. It's not Vince's company anymore. We're taking it over. We're making our own. And, you know, through Hunter and through Sean and through everybody they're bringing in around them with the producers, the culture is shifting and changing where it's not necessarily the good old boys club anymore, like what it was and what they were doing, which we're not going to get into. It's very, very, very different. At least
it is
from a perception.
And that's the whole point. It's the perception they want to put out there right now, which when you almost die, you kind of reevaluate your life like Hunter did. So,
yep. It's like, maybe I should be less of an asshole. I don't know, though. So I like that they're doing that. And it was such a sweet moment with her. And Stephanie had a really great promo where she was thrilled and she was excited and she was emotional about, you know, the fact that she won. She's very grateful. And it was just a good moment for her overall. And Tiffany looked good even in defeat. Like they had, I don't think they ever hit like fourth gear, but they had a really solid, fun match with each other.
Yeah, it was very solid.
Which, considering the fact that there was no story really for it, I'm kind of okay with that. I just, like I said, I appreciate the effort that was made. I just wish they had done more. But the thing is, you know, it was supposed to be a different story. You know who was supposed to be there, technically. And due to a wonderful miracle, everything changed. And there's nothing wrong with that at all, right? Absolutely nothing wrong with that. But you know it was supposed to be a different story and things changed. So here we are.
All right, what's next?
Up next, we have Rhea Ripley and Io Sky taking on the Kabuki Warriors and Asuka and Kairi Sane. What do you guys think?
It was enjoyable.
Welcome home, Rhea.
Welcome home, Rhea. It was a solid match. I don't think it was anything blow away, but it was really good. Rhea got to showcase her stuff. They played it. They built to the tag for Rhea. They teased it, but they built to it. And the pop was huge when she got tagged in.
I like the fact of, you knew the pop was coming from the hometown crowd as soon as she was going to get in. But the whole story of the match was the Kabuki Warriors versus Io. Like, Rhea's there to help her girl. She's there to be her family because her previous family betrayed her. But I like that they kept the full story going and built to that moment of, okay, yeah, we're going to get the tag. And you even had that moment where Rhea gets really worked up because it's like, you know, oh, there's supposed to be the tag, but the ref didn't see it. And so Rhea is arguing with the ref and it's causing Io to get the shit beat out of her even more because the ref's not looking and they can double team her. It played really well into the fact of like the animosity between the former Damage Control and, you know, Rhea being there, not just because it was Australia, but because we have seen the length of time of like, yeah, they are rivals, but rivals in a good way. Like, they bring the best out of each other, and they recognize, like, if one of us is getting attacked, we have pride to try and, you know, make sure that the other is going to be healthy. So, yeah, no one gets to beat up you except for me.
Which is adorable in a way. But also weird, but adorable.
It's fantastic, but it's like, I like that kind of thing of the, like, no, like, I got your back, don't worry. But if a title's ever involved, you know we're going. And the other, you know, and like, the other is just like, oh yeah, no, we'll go all out. But until that title's involved, yeah, I got you, don't worry.
But off topic, by the way, the Bengals beat the Steelers.
I'm sorry, what?
It was a hard-fought victory.
Bengals beat the Steelers.
Okay. Hang on. What the hell is up with this football season?
It's drunk.
We've got the Dallas Cowboys tying the Green Bay Packers in a game that they have no right being a tie-in because they subsequently lose 2 weeks later to the Panthers.
Can we talk about Jacksonville and the fact that Jacksonville is like, what, 5-1?
Yeah, Jacksonville beat the Kansas City Chiefs. Rock, who did the Eagles lose to?
We lost to the Giants. We lost to the Giants. We got our ass kicked by the Giants last week.
That was sad. Dart and, or was it Dax or Dart?
Whatever it is, yeah.
Jackson Dart, I think, and the Giants. Like, this entire season is drunk.
Ravens are what, 1-5?
Ravens are 1-5. Well, that's Lamar.
Bills.
Hey, don't you talk shit about Lamar.
Brent, it's not Lamar. He was only gone for the last two. They were 1-3 before.
Okay. But you've had, like, the 49ers have had injury issues, and they're okay. You had, what was it, the Bills lose to the Patriots on Sunday night.
And then they lost then they lost to the Falcons on Monday. Like, the Bills lost, like, Eagles lost two games. Bills lost two games. What is this season?
The Bears are actually competitive.
Bears are competitive, yeah.
If there's nothing else you need to say, it's that the Chicago Bears, Seth Rollins, does not hate football right now for some reason.
He may hate life.
Seth Rollins sacrificed his shoulder for a good Bears season.
When we get to the main event, there was a tweet I have to talk about because it's fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I would just like to say that the Atlanta Falcons are consistently mediocre. Go us. Like, we are not affected by the drunkenness at all.
No,
we
you guys are still shit. No,
you guys have pulled off some wins this season that you shouldn't have. That's the amazing thing.
You beat the Bills.
But we've lost some games we shouldn't have, too.
Yeah, but you beat good teams. That's just the way it goes.
But we are consistently mediocre. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We have moments of brilliance, but we are not consistently brilliant. That is our problem.
But
it's an Atlanta sports team. It's what we do.
It is what you do. To circle back, Io and Rhea got the win. Io got the pin, too.
She did, which was
nice. I was surprised by that.
Like, the one thing I really liked about this match was the story they told in it, especially between the Kabuki Warriors and Io, and the fact that you had, right from the onset, when Asuka and Kairi came out, Michael Cole talking about the relationship between Asuka and Kairi and how it was very much a toxic, sort of abusive relationship, and how it wasn't healthy and it wasn't good, and just really selling that this is not a good situation that these two are in, and it's being driven entirely by Asuka. Even though Kairi is appearing willing at times, it's Asuka who's really, like, coming down on her and sort of manipulating her, and, you know, talking about how Io sort of got away from that and struck out on her own, and there's residual issues from that. Like, I like how they told that story throughout the match.
And that carried on to Monday when we saw, because Kairi took the pin,
mm-hmm.
and it was, you had Kairi saying, trying to smooth stuff over with Asuka, and Asuka, like you said, this toxic relationship of, like, well, you got the loss, so now this week you have to prove yourself. And, yeah, there's just that continuation, that, you know, essentially toxic relationship that we're seeing. And the further kind of, I would say, fracturing of Asuka herself.
Yeah.
Because we've always seen that Asuka's a little eccentric. But it's like, now we're really kind of seeing, like, what, because normally she's just been on her own, but what happens when she has someone else there, and, like, how bad it can be.
Yeah, and you're waiting at this point for the implosion between Kairi and Asuka and how that all is going to go down. Because at some point, Kari's going to snap. That's how they're building this, is Kari's just going to have enough. And the question is does she implode in on herself and Asuka just takes advantage of her even further? Or does Kairi break away from Asuka and we see the end of the team altogether?
Yeah. Is it Asuka beats her down, like, has enough and beats her down, and that's how you have the dissolution, but they will then fight each other? Or, as you said, does Kairi reach her limit and then just break and is like, nope, this ain't happening anymore, and you have the dissolution that way?
They're doing a very, very good job with that. So, and the match was good because, you know, again, Rhea's pop was just fucking massive
both times, her entrance
and the tease of putting her in the ring. Like, I like how they kept her pretty much the whole time. And as you guys mentioned, teased it. It was a fun little time.
Let's talk about this main event.
And I was going to say, last but not least, for the Men's Crown Jewel Championship, we have Seth Rollins, who is the Raw World Heavyweight Champion, defeating Cody Rhodes, who is SmackDown's undisputed WWE champion. And before we talk about the match, we have to talk about Seth Rollins's cat eyeglasses.
Go forth.
I'm normally a fan of cat eyeglasses, especially frilly gold cat eyeglasses. Like, I'm not gonna lie, he was rocking them. He was doing a good job with the whole outfit situation. There's a story behind the whole outfit that he was wearing. But for the tone of the character that he's trying to portray, just a bit much. Just a little bit. Just a little bit too much. In terms of the glasses. Like, he almost looked like a caricature of himself. And I don't know if that was the point of the whole outfit, but there was a lot going on. We had the polka dots, we had the zebra stripes, we had the giant coat, we have the glasses, you know, we have all of the stuff, right? And he's trying to be very solemn and serious as he's walking to the ring because he's contemplative. He doesn't know if he can do this. He's walked away from the vision at this point. He's left the bronze and Paul behind because Seth has to do it on his own.
No, they were instructed.
Refused to come out.
Yeah, Paul, they were told him not to.
Paul kept them back.
Yeah,
but
on like one of the pre-shows, he walked out on them.
No,
all he did was just walk away. He didn't walk out on them. He walked away from not talking about the situation. It was Paul Heyman who was like, he's got to do it on his own.
He's got to earn this.
Yeah,
and that's the story I love about this is ever since WrestleMania, with the turn that happened with Paul Heyman joining Seth Rollins and essentially orchestrating the vision as a whole, Seth has had backup. He's had Paul in the corner. He's had the voice to help him. And, you know, yes, that brought Braun in. Yes, that brought Bronson along. But at the same time, Seth got reliant on it. And while also kind of counter to that, he wasn't listening to Paul.
No.
And we got that right the Monday before Crown Jewel when Paul is telling him, "Don't do it. Don't go back to the ring. Cody's suckering you in. It's not going to end well. Don't do it. Don't do it." And you see Seth just fuming and is like, I'm going to get one last shot in. And as soon as he got into the ring and went for the stomp, he got snake bit. And you saw Paul Heyman holding the bronze back at that point. Like, nope, he made his choice. He did the stupid thing. He plays stupid games, wins stupid prizes. There you go. So I liked that story that was there of Paul recognizing, like, if he doesn't want to listen to counsel, then counsel is not going to be offered from him or the bronze. And I thought that was important because also the story of this match is the fact that Seth has never beaten Cody. And what happens to someone in that situation, especially when it's who is the better champion that has been hyped for this entire match?
And he got so desperate. He's going to do a coast-to-coast diving headbutt and destroy his shoulder.
Yep.
Yeah.
But it looked good. It looked spectacular. He landed weird, but it looked good.
Yeah, and that became the story of he injured himself. And props to him for continuing on and working through the injury, because you could tell right away he grabbed his shoulder when he hit that mat. And we all kind of saw, it was like, he hit hard. That wasn't good.
But at the same time, trust issues.
We still have trust issues because you never know. He could be working us all, but this is a really bad work if it is, because you just did the work. So why would you redo the work?
And as I said, the thing that kind of I look at that situation and I go, oh, is when you do a diving headbutt across the entire ring, there's not a good way to land. There's a reason why certain people who did diving headbutts have shortened careers and other things. But there's no good way to protect yourself when you're throwing your body forward and you can't really like put your arms down because you're doing the headbutt. So it's the same situation with Finn and taking like the buckle bomb on the outside. There's no good way to really land that at times. So if it pops your shoulder out, yeah, I'm not surprised.
It wasn't very surprising. Seth Rollins got the win, as Linton mentioned, but the big story came on Monday Night Raw because Seth is injured, and they got to figure out what to do. So what they ended up doing, because the Vision wasn't there with them on Saturday because he was told not to, Bron Breakker speared the shit out of Seth Rollins to end Monday Night Raw.
And you saw hints of it in the promo to start Raw.
Yeah.
And Seth's talking to Braun and Braun's just kind of side-eyeing him. And it's like, he's placating him a little bit, but you can always tell that, like, Braun has an alternate plan, or he's got something else in his mind. And yeah, Seth was celebrating at the end of Raw, and Braun took his chance, and holy shit, he speared the hell out of him. And as the one thing I noticed was, as soon as Seth hit the ground, that injured shoulder went right to the body. It's a good sell for the spear, but at the same time, it's a really good way to protect that shoulder and not have it flailing around.
Yeah.
And
honestly,
go ahead.
I just gonna say, honestly, in terms of the turn, like, it feels appropriate. It feels right, because I think while the Vision started with promise, it's just sort of fallen apart. And I think having, especially since Seth has to go away potentially for an actual real injury this time, you break the Bronze out and you have them go on and be on their own, right? Because we saw that there is promise there in the tag team with Heyman, without Seth. And so they really should be a unit on their own with Heyman, and you push the fuck out of them, right? Especially Bronson Reed, which is what appears to be happening, is that they're going to go ahead and start pushing Bronson Reed and Bron Breakker on their own as a tag team with Heyman supporting them. And then you can move Seth on and have Seth go do whatever he's going to do.
Well,
and
I would
take him out of the tag team.
I would say you take... I wouldn't push them as a team. I would push them as a unit, but not as a team, because you need singles guys, and they're your top two on the heel side at this point.
Well, I was gonna say, yeah, like, I think they work together. I wouldn't have them as a tag team. I would have it as Braun is your main event guy, Bronson mm-hmm. is your mid card title guy, and so you have each of them run roughshod. And they try to you try to put, like, the U.S. title on Bronson, the world title on, or, and Braun's in the world title picture, and that's how you run it. It's the two of them are just going to dominate the two divisions on the show.
I don't know, dude. I would almost flip that.
No.
Yeah. Bronson's way more charismatic. Like, yeah, Braun is a freak of nature and he can spear the shit out of people, but he can't talk.
But that's why you have Paul there.
I know he's got Heyman.
Paul, you run Braun as the Brock. Mm-hmm. You have Bronson build up, and if anything, the ultimate disillusion is the two of them going after each other. But
yeah, but I feel like I feel like Bronson will be ready before Braun.
Doesn't matter.
The thing, like, because there's less work there.
Doesn't matter. It's you have to put. The work has been put in for the last year and changed. He's the guy. He's the guy you're pushing. He's your featured attraction going forward. The turn should have been months later, a couple months later, because of the injury they kind of had to get to it. But no, he's your guy. Whether he can cut the promo or not, he's the guy you have to put in that position.
But I still feel like there's money in Bronson.
Oh, and Bronson's going to get the. Get his shots, and especially it depends what they do going forward. One, Seth Rollins does not work as a babyface right now because he's still an asshole. Two, they're not going to be babyfaces because you need top heels. So that's going to be a tricky situation when Rollins comes back, because there's a situation with the number one contender, CM Punk. He beat the two babyfaces on Monday Night Raw, turned a shot at the world title, which would have been at Saturday Night's main event in 2 weeks. Now you question, well, what where do you go from there? Where it's like, all right, Seth, if Seth is going to be out for what? If he's out 2 months, you can keep the belt on him. You can get away with it.
I mean, it depends how bad the separation, or if there's a tear in there or anything.
Right. If it's 2 months,
he has that surgery. He has to vacate.
If it's 2 months, you can get to the end of the year and put the show, build the show around John Cena and what happens. If not, you have to vacate the championship and then figure out who your next champion is.
I've got it.
Oh no.
Interim world champion.
Someone mentioned that, Alec. No.
Fuck that.
Fucking dare.
That is
attorney if you're gonna do that.
I'm sorry. Yeah, no, it's don't do an interim thing, because then it's like oh, are they ever really a champion? Because they have to then technically beat Seth anyway to get the belt. Because, yeah, it's not. If you're going to do that, you have them take the title on. And because the same thing could have been said for Naomi. It's like, oh, well, she's off to go have a kid. Well, guess what? She can still be the champion. We'll just have an interim title. And then when Naomi comes back, hey, we'll unify. No.
Just but
do what you did. Take the title off her. Give it to someone. Let stories run. And then when Naomi comes back, if the time, you know, if everything's right, you put her back towards the title picture.
If you want to claim interim champion for two, if it's a 2 months injury, you can claim an interim champion and then you do the battle. You could have just Bron Breakker, who was holding up the championship on Monday Night Raw, claim this is my title now and let someone go beat him for it. Possesses 9/10 of the law. He holds the belt. Someone go take that title from him.
And that would be a good story because it's, well, Braun technically has the belt, but Seth is the champion. So, what the hell's Braun really doing? But yet, you still get featured matches out of it. And then, yeah, if it's only 2 months, Seth comes back and is just like, I never lost this thing, god damn it.
Can we get a Benny Hill sketch of, like, Adam Pearce chasing Braun around for the title?
Oh, I want to see Braun just walk off with the title and still hang on to it. And yeah, you continue the Adam Pearce, like, I'm sick of your shit, Braun. I've been dealing with this for over a year now. Come on.
So I'll pose the question to both of you. Who is your next world champion?
Punk.
I think you can do Punk with it because I don't think you put it on Braun right now. I think you need to put a program together for him to win it.
Yeah, I'll second that.
How do you get it to Punk? You do Punk versus...
You could do a tourney situation like what they did for Naomi's, where you basically send Punk to the end because he's the number one contender in quotations, and then you do a tourney for his opponent.
Well, they didn't do it. They didn't do it for Naomi. They didn't do that because they did.
They did it for Naomi?
It was Stephanie Vacour, and then they said, EO, you're getting the shot, or you're defending, essentially.
Yeah.
Like, however they did it for Naomi, they could do that here. And you just essentially have them identify whoever they want it to be, whether that's Braun, whether that's Punk, you know, whoever. Or you could do a tourney where you could stretch it out to the next PLE if you wanted. And the next champion is going to be crowned at the next PLE, which is Survivor Series, isn't it?
Yeah, so Saturday night's main event in between, which is where the title match was going to happen. Then Survivor Series is your final PLE of the year.
So you could do it either at Saturday Night's Main Event or you could do it at Survivor Series and you crown the new champion at Survivor Series and do it that way. Because we don't know yet in terms of teams who's in what team and who's doing what. So hypothetically, you could have like the title match and the crowning at Survivor Series. But it would be tricky depending on how you're going to set all that up.
I have a horrible idea.
Well, you have to share it now.
It wouldn't work because it burns a day, but you have,
you put it back on John.
You don't put it back on John, but you do, if you do it like the Naomi thing, it's Punk is the number one contender. You put him up against the winningest champion of all time. And
no, you don't go back to that.
I know. Oh, I'm just saying if it was in case of emergency and oh shit, we have to figure out how to put it on Punk.
Dude, Jay. What if you did Punk and Jay?
He just beat Jay.
He just beat Jay.
Do it again.
They could, but if you want to do something to kind of make an a transitional champion, you could do something different. You could finally give the internet what they want.
Yeah.
What? Oh yeah, do that.
You could put it on LA Knight for a month or two, and you bridge gap with LA Knight, have him beat somebody and set up something, and just go from there because they could finally scratch that thing off. Okay, he's been the world champion.
Honestly, again, it's a good time of year to do it because you're coming into the last PLE of the year. With Survivor Series, he doesn't necessarily have to have a title match on that show. He can be a part of one of the teams and have the title represented there. And then you just carry him forward to the end of the year going into Rumble and then you kind of assess where you are for WrestleMania season and what you need to do.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt WrestleMania. You just set it up. Let them go.
You could have the belt
Rumble.
Drop at Rumble if
or before yeah. or the start of the season on whatever, and you just go from there. But we'll have to see on that one, because it's going to be interesting.
There's a big question mark right now.
There's a lot of big question marks. They got a lot of decisions they have to make.
Is there any word on Seth? Is there any expectation we're going to get word on Seth?
No. Let's think about it. So Saturday he got injured,
mm-hmm.
which had a day and a half to get back.
Which, by the way, flying with a dislocated shoulder is with at least a dislocated shoulder would fucking suck.
And he got
I'm sure he was numb.
Right. So he got injured Saturday. Had to stay there till Monday. So they probably didn't get back technically till yesterday. He had to get his own. They had to get him his own way back because they weren't coming back. Some of them were coming back, but not everyone was coming back. Because Raw people were still working a tour of Australia and into Japan for the next couple of days. So they had to get him back somehow from Australia.
They put him on the jet.
And then, yeah, it's probably, they probably haven't got evaluated yet.
They had to take care of it there. They would have had had it treated. So they would have done a preliminary evaluation and then sent that back to the States. And then it's likely that he would see his doctor probably today, possibly tomorrow.
From what I just saw here, and by all means, take this with a grain of salt because of who's saying it. Expectation is extended period of time, including maybe past Mania.
Yeah, if it's the full-on mm-hmm. thing, yeah, it's months. But again, that's what they expect. We'll see what comes of it. But with all that expectation out of the way, because we'll talk about it as it unfolds. Housekeeping, Brent.
Before that, just very quickly, two pieces of social media I saw relating to this whole experience.
All right, make it
quick. One, I saw that someone was talking and they were like, Bronson never learns, does he? And it was a video of Bronson Reed fighting Braun Strowman when Seth came back from the injury of the tsunamis to curb stomp him onto the stairs during the Last Man Standing. Could be playing out again from what we've seen. Two, I love the Twitter exchange between Becky Lynch, who said, I was away for 1 week, and it's the video of the Vision disillusioning, and was followed up by a response from Omos saying, I'm available.
Nice.
So,
I mean, shoot your shot, dude. Shoot your shot.
I love that it's like everyone's playing into the story as well of like, well, Becky, yeah, you were part of the group and you were all of this, but look what happens. And then, yeah, almost like, well, I'm not being used, so hey. But housekeeping. So we had 10 people participating in our pick'ems for Crown Jewel. Mm-hmm. In 10th place, going 1-4, was Subway. In 6th place, going 3-2, so Sub was the only one sub-500. We had the 8-Ball, Rob, Tim, and the Magical Wheel of Fun. In 4th place, tied at 4-1, is Rock and Sarah. Meaning in 1st place is 2/3 of WTR Sunday Night, myself and Keishi Matsunaga, and, of course, the host of this show, Lindsay Ward.
Hey, let's go.
But Lindsay will have to make some picks in the next day for the show that she's an expert on.
No.
Wrestle Dream.
No. God, I mean, I'm going to have to Google people.
There's only 12. No, it's all AEW people. That's the thing.
I stand by my statement. I'm going to have to Google people.
There's only 12 matches you have to pick. It's fine.
Oh, only 12?
Yep, only 12.
A respectable 12. He didn't go to 14 this time.
There's still time.
So, all right. Are we good?
We are.
You got stuff to plug, Rock, so plug away.
This stream was presented by Puzzle and Chaos. Dude, click the panel down below. Download the game for Android and Apple. It's a match 3 game. You've been seeing it all night. Download the game. Try it out. Would help the stream a lot. But Saturday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern, it's another edition of CB Radio. Sunday, it's WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. They've had homework, have Tim and Brent. Will they come with their homework and predict the future for April?
We'll find out on Sunday night on Wrestle Talk Radio. Monday night, we're back for the Raw Post Show. I think at 10:30. And we'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of The Rack at 10 p.m. Eastern. Direct Radio Show on all social media platforms or wherever you get your podcast, search Direct Radio Show. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Chat, if you have that Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's Prime something. She found the ooh button. It's Prime whatever. Support channel by clicking the purple button below the screen. You can use creator code RockandTalk or
Lin's M Ward
in the Fortnite item shop when you buy all your Fortnite Mare stuff and beyond, because we are
hashtag epic partners. Sup, Sarah? You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lin's Ward, LINSWD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lin's Ward. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@SimmaLin'sWard. And you can follow me on TikTok, Lin's Ward 0. Brent, would you like to plug?
Yeah, you can find me on various social media, X/Twitter, Threads, Instagram, Blue Sky, at either Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens.
Ding! And while you're liking and subscribing and following and doing all the things, you can head over to Matt's channel, mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. Go like, subscribe, comment, and tell him we said hi, because Matt does awesome things. So for Rock and for Brent, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will see you next week with another show. Till then, bye! My time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's the franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now. WildTalkRadio.com.